So wonderful to see you all here this morning. Who's excited to be here? Who's excited for Jesus? Aren't you guys so thankful for the cross, eh? Isn't it amazing what Jesus did? And just the songs, band, it was amazing, Benny and Michelle and yours, just leading us into that place of, I just realized again, just, you know, without Jesus, we're nothing, amen. And sometimes we actually get to a place where we think we've arrived, and so that place of our first love starts to fade away a little bit. And this morning, I was just so encouraged and reminded again in the worship about what Jesus has done for all of us. So who's thankful to Jesus this morning? I think we should give Jesus a clap just as a thanksgiving offering. And I believe as we contemplate what he has done for us on the cross and why we are where we are right now, I believe there is a question that he's asking each one of us this morning. And it's simply this: will you go for me? If you look at that, you might think, am I asking the question? Alistair, are you asking me to go? And I'm saying, yes, I am. But the reason I'm asking the question is because I believe Jesus is asking that question. Amen. So we're going to talk about that this morning. As you know, it's our missions launch. We're excited about missions because I believe we're a missional church. Amen. I believe we're supposed to be an attractive church where people can come to church. But I also believe we're supposed to be a church that is sending people out and that is all of us, in fact, are going. Amen. Can I have an amen? And it doesn't mean you've got to go to India. It doesn't mean you've got to go to Lesotho or to another country or even to another town. It just means you've got to just take another step to go to someone next door to you. Bill Hybels has got a book called Just Walk Across the Room. And I believe that's what we should do. We should sometimes just walk across the room. That is a mission. Amen. Just going for Jesus. And so he's asking this question this morning. And it starts with will. You know, will, it's like a question. It's an invitation. So he doesn't say you must go. I really believe God doesn't force us to do anything. We don't have to do anything for God. That's good news for some of us this morning that they just want to sit back and then that's fine. If you don't want to go, you don't have to. But it's a question. It's an invitation. Will you go for me? Then the second word is you. Will you go for me? And you there is singular and plural, I believe. It's you as a person, but it's also, will Shofar Bloemfontein go for me? Will you as a family go for me? Will the Kingwall family go for me? Will you go for me? And then we can put the emphasis on go. Will you go? Tell someone next to you, go. It talks a little bit about getting out of your comforts, getting out of what is normal and same old, same old. It talks about moving. It talks about making a difference, changing this world. Amen. And then lastly, will you go for me? Not me, but for God. Will you go for him? So that's the question I want to ask you this morning in your heart. Will you go and make a difference? What is your response to this question? Yes, 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 I'll go. Or is it, I don't really want to go. Or is it yes, but? You know, when you get asked a question, most of us are like, let's look at the conditions here, you know. Where, Lord? How far, Lord? How much money, Lord? How difficult is this going to be, Lord? Am I going to lose my life, Lord? Hello? If I just have to ask you a question, will you go for me? You're going to ask a lot of questions, I'm sure. Unless you're just really radically obedient and you're just going to go blindly. But I don't know what your response is this morning, because someone was asked this very same question back in the day, back at the very beginning. Right in the book of Exodus. Some guy was asked this question, will you go for me? And this is his response, and maybe this morning some of you can identify with this man. Anyone know the story? Exodus chapter 3. Moses encounters God at the burning bush. Some of you have read it many times. Maybe you haven't even. But Moses encounters God at the burning bush, and God does what he did this morning to some of us. He says to you, I love you, I love you, I've called you, I've set you free, I've forgiven you. And he comes in humility, and Moses is called by God, and he's amazed that this bush is burning, and he realizes this is not just a normal thing. This is God visiting him. And so God speaks to him, and he says, listen, here, take your sandals off your feet. You're busy with me now. It's holy ground. So Moses takes his sandals off, and he's so fearful of God, he can't look at God. And then God is like, right, now I'm going to speak to you. And so maybe you've had that experience in your life before. Maybe you've met Jesus, and I trust if you haven't met Jesus yet this morning, then tonight is your opportunity, or today is your opportunity. But if you've met Jesus, then Jesus wants to speak to us. Amen. Jesus wants to tell us some things. And I heard an amazing saying this week. A friend of ours that came to minister to some of the ladies this week, she said something like this. She said, God wants to interrupt our lives, not just for a chit-chat. God wants to interrupt our lives because he's got business to deal with. He's got a cause that his heart is after. He's got a cause for his people. He's wanting to do business with his, not just wanting to have nice fellowship with you. And yes, he does want you to have fellowship with him. But I believe God wants to take us a little bit further, like he took Moses. He says, Moses, there's this awesome place of worship now. But at that place of worship, I want to start to speak to you. Amen. And so I want to challenge us as a church, because sometimes we get into this place of amazing worship, and we worship the Lord, and it's great, but God wants to speak to us. He wants to do business with us. And I believe this morning he wants to do exactly that. He wants to do business with us. And so God speaks to Moses, and he says the following. He says, and the Lord said, I've surely seen, in verse 7, I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And so he says to Moses, Moses, the people are in slavery, they're in bondage, they are really having a tough time, and I'm seeing their hearts, I'm hearing their cries. And it's the same with the world we live in today. The world we live in is full of oppressed people, full of people in bondage, full of people who are crying out for help. Amen. Isn't that so? Just look at the world, get out of your comfort zone, and go to where some people are struggling. And then you'll hear the cry of the people. And God is saying he hears their cry. He hears the people of his own people are crying, and he knows their sorrows. And I want to say today, even maybe some of you here are crying out to God, and I want to say he hears you this morning. Amen. He hears the cry of your heart. Maybe you're in bondage here this morning. Maybe you're sorrowful and you're down, and there's bondage over your life, and the taskmaster over you, the devil, is oppressing you, and God is hearing you. And I want to say he's heard your cry. He doesn't only hear you, he has already heard you. And then he says, in the next verse, he says he's come down to take his people out of bondage into freedom, out of slavery into freedom, into a land flowing with milk and honey. And I want to say God has got abundance for his people. Amen. God does not like it that people are oppressed. God does not like it that South Africa is oppressed and in slavery. God does not like it that your family is struggling, or that this nation, the nations of the world, are struggling. God does not like that. And I love his response. He says he has come down to deliver them. And then he says, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. And I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Because God has heard the cry of his children, he has made a plan to send a representative. And isn't it amazing that God sent Moses? Isn't it amazing that God sent his only son to this world to deliver the people out of Egypt and out of slavery? But isn't it amazing at the same time that I believe God calls every single believer to be a representative for him? Amen. God calls us because of Jesus Christ, because of what he's done in our lives. He says to you, you know what? I want to use you as part of my plan. Will you go for me? And so God's sovereign, God's choice is sovereign. I want to say it's for every believer. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. It's God's choice to send you. Amen. But it's your choice to respond. And so we know the story. Moses does amazing things. We know the end. We know all the miracles. But was Moses' response, yes, I'm going to go? It wasn't quite like that. And we'll look at that this morning. I want to look at five excuses that Moses made why he should not go. And maybe some of us in our hearts, we've got these excuses why we shouldn't go for God. You know, I'm too busy, or it's just not the right circumstances. It's maybe not the right time. I don't know what your excuses are today or what your challenges are, but I want to say there's good news today is that God knows your challenges. God knows your circumstances and God wants to send you. It's God's call for every single believer. Amen. Can I have an amen? Because of what Moses, because of what Jesus did, we can all be like Moses. And I remember, I was just thinking this week of my own story, and I just realized, I remember I was in Stellenbosch, and, it was a comfortable place, a beautiful place. I just got married, life was good, had a great job. Life was a lot about me and my wife, and, I was serving at church. I was excited for the Lord, and, you're passionate. You sing these songs, yes, Lord, I'll go, send me to the ends of the earth. And then, he says, okay, will you go to Pretoria? Will you go to Bloemfontein? Then you're like, sure, Lord. Stellenbosch is quite nice. I'll go on a mission and I'll go for a 2-week thing and come back. But this house here, Lord, is comfortable. The mountains, it's beautiful, And then the Lord says, will you pack up and go? Will you go for me? And I remember seriously considering, my friend went to London. He was also on fire for the Lord and he felt he had to go to London. I'm thinking, yes, this is brave. This guy's going far away. Until the time came for me to pack up my family, at that stage, just my wife, and to go. And here we are 6, 7, 8 years later, and we've been to 2 cities. And I just realized our family is we're missionaries. Missionaries aren't the people that Tad talk about only, the people in China and in all the nations. Missionaries are people that just go for God. Amen. And you don't have to go to somewhere else, but I'm just saying the principle here is, will you go? And I remember my response wasn't, yes, Lord, I'll go. Tomorrow I'll pack up and go. It was like, luckily, God gave us 6 months to think about it, to pray about it, to really count the cost. And I asked a lot of questions. And the questions I asked were often similar to what Moses asked. Because many times it was like, Lord, am I the right one? Or, really me, Lord? There's a lot of other people, But Moses asked a few questions, and so maybe tonight, this morning, you might be asking some of these questions. So let's look at how Moses responded. So God said, I've heard the cry. I want to send you, Moses. Yes, yes, you, Moses. I want to send you. I'm speaking to you. You've seen the burning bush. So let's talk about these things. And God is quiet, and Moses responds in verse 11. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So the first thing Moses was confronted with was his own insecurity and his own identity. Who am I that you want to send me, God? Who am I? And so Moses was doubting himself. He was looking at his past. He's looking at his mistakes. He's looking at his reputation, his current circumstances. And he compared this to this massive task of doing 2 things. First of all, he had to go to Pharaoh. That's a scary task in itself. And secondly, he had to lead 1 million people out of Egypt. Imagine that. A guy who's murdered someone, a guy who's like a little shepherd boy, used to be a prince, but now he's like, his life is just in a mess. And God says, you're the one. I want to use you. So I don't know where you're at in your life this morning. I don't know what responsibility God has given you. But normally our first excuse is we look at our situation, we look at our life, and we say, God, there's a lot of other people out there. I'm not good enough, God. Isn't that so? I'm not good enough. God send someone else. And I want to say this morning, the truth is that no one is good enough. Tell someone next to you, no one is good enough. And God knows that. God knows that no one is good enough. And God has got a plan and an answer. So look at God's response. This is amazing. For every excuse Moses comes up with, I love Jesus. I love God. He's just so awesome. He's always got a response. And so God says, I will certainly be with you, Moses, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. God said to Moses, he's going to be with him. All he needed was his presence. Amen. All he needed to know was that place of the presence of God. And it's just so amazing. And he could have said, look, I'm with you, Moses. But he said, I'm certainly with you. Just to assure Moses that he's really, really with him. And I want to say this morning, when God calls us, doesn't matter what excuses we have, he's with us. Amen. He's with us by his Spirit. And when he calls us, he does not leave us alone. He goes with us. And I can just look back on our journey in going, leaving our comfort zone, leaving the place where I had a burning bush encounter, because I just think back to my life in Stellenbosch and I just realized that is where I met God. That is where I grew in God. And God said, okay, little eagle, you've got to fly now. Out of your comfort zone, out of your nest, it's time to go. But I always look back on that place where the burning bush was real for me. And God said, you know what? I want to use you. Will you go for me? And I look back at all the miracles that just took place, just the stuff falling into place. You know, our accommodation in Pretoria, just how Hester got a job there like this. And we slotted in. We life was great because God wanted to make us effective. And the same with Bloemfontein. We came to Bloemfontein. God just put stuff in place. We bought a house and the bond went through, or the transfer happened on the 1st of July. And we like moved here on the 1st of July. It was like we didn't have to stay anywhere else or do this. Sometimes when you buy a house or sell a previous place, you got to wait for all those things just fell into place. It's just amazing. And God said He's going to be with us. And you know what? You're going to see my faithfulness. And so He says to Moses, when you have brought these people, you know what? You're going to come back to this very place and you're going to worship me. Not you alone, but all the people with you. Just to show that I'm faithful. Amen. So when we go for God, when we're uncertain of our response, God says, I'm with you, and that is all you need to know. And I want to say this morning, God showed Moses that it was not about him, it was about him, God. It wasn't about Moses, it was about God. And your identity is not in who you are, it's in whose you are. Who is your source? Who is with you? Are you going alone, or do you have the presence of God going with you? And so we know the guy that Moses was, he didn't just say yes after the first response. So he has another question. Excuse number two. Okay, God, you're going to be with me, but Lord, what am I going to say? So I'm going to come to the children of Israel and what am I going to say, Lord? Because they're going to ask me, what's his name? Who's this God? Who's spoken to you, Moses? And Moses started to doubt his revelation and his knowledge of God. Who must I tell? How must I testify, Lord? What must I say? And this is one of the biggest challenges for us as believers. What do we tell people? What do we tell people about God? And yeah, he's not even talking about unbelievers. He's talking about the children of Israel. They should know God. But isn't it sometimes difficult to talk to other believers about God because everyone's got their own thing, you know? And the second excuse we often make is that of, okay, Lord, I'll go for you, but what do I say? Have you ever thought about that in your life? What do you tell people every day? When you go, what do you say? Do you have all the answers and do you wait for all the answers? I want to say this morning, you're not going to have all the answers. We'll never have all the answers. And God is fine with that. And God's got a response again. And He says to Moses, I am who I am. All you need to say to the children of Israel is, I am has sent you. Moreover, say to the people, thus you shall say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. This morning, what is your revelation of God? Because God says He's I am. He's the same. He doesn't change. He's not yesterday and then today and then tomorrow. He's I am. There's no past, no present, no future. He's just eternal. You see, our revelation of God determines what we're going to say about God. I want to say that again. Our revelation of God determines what we're going to tell people about God. So what is your revelation about the Lord this morning? How much do you know Him? And do you know that He's the I Am, the great I Am? And He said to Moses, I'm the same God who loves your ancestors, who loves your fathers, and I'll keep my covenant to all generations. That is who I am. That is all the people need to know, and it's all you need to know. Amen. So your current revelation, I want to encourage someone for this week, your current revelation of God is enough to make a difference. Amen. Whatever you've experienced of God up to now, you can tell someone. You can tell your work colleague. You can tell your boss. You can tell the person working for you. You can tell your classmate. You can tell them the revelation of God that you have now. It's enough to change their lives. It's not going to be the ultimate revelation because you're going to grow in it. Amen. Isn't that cool? Moses grew in the revelation of God. He grew in the amazing ability of God to do incredible stuff. But at the time, God says, you've got enough. Your revelation is enough. And I want to encourage us this morning and say, what you know now about God is enough to change someone else's life. If you know God. If you don't know God, then just get to know your Savior. But you know, isn't it amazing? Have you ever seen how people are so passionate about the Lord when they just get saved? You know, the best evangelists are people who have just been saved. Isn't that so? Have you seen some of these guys? That are so, they've just, I mean, all of us were there. We were there. We met the Lord and we're so passionate to tell people about this amazing God we've met. Why is it like that? Because it's fresh revelation. It's amazing revelation. Amen. And so God said to Moses, you have just met me. You have just seen my incredible voice in a burning bush. You have encountered me, Moses. Just tell them, I am. That's who God is. The great I am. You've seen me. And so Moses says, okay, God, I've got another question for you. Moses was full of excuses. Okay. So number three. He answered and said in chapter 4, he says, okay, but Lord, I hear what you're saying, but suppose they will not believe me. Okay, now this, Moses must have been a very analytical guy. Some of us are very analytical, okay? But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. It seems like Moses was really looking for every excuse in the book not to do what God had asked him to do. But yeah, Moses is now being confronted with the whole thing of the fear of people. What are people going to say? And maybe for some of us, that is our biggest fear. What if people don't like me? What if people reject me? And I want to say today, every single person is not going to agree with you. You're not going to have people pleasing you or people being happy with you. Every single person in this world. So get over the fear of man. Amen. Not everyone's going to accept us and agree with us, but it's okay. God is fine with that. And so here's God's response. Listen to this. And this is where our faith comes in. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? All God asked of Moses, he says, don't worry about what people are going to say. Don't worry about your fear. Worry about what is in, look at what is in your hand. And I want to ask you, what is in your hand right now? Show me quickly. Show me what's in your hand. Okay, it looks like no one's got anything in your hand. Has someone got a phone, a Bible? Okay. Guys, you must come to church with your staff, okay? Moses came with his staff. Okay, so next week we're going to all have staffs in our hands. But it's not about what is physically in your hand. Moses had a rod in his hand, but it's for all of us. What is in your hand? What skills have you been given? What talents have you been given? What is unique to your life? And I want you to literally look at your hand. So take out your hand and just look at your hand quickly. Look at every pattern there. Look at your fingerprints. You know, study each, especially the thumbprints. There's something unique on your hand that no one else has got. Amen. Look at your hand and say to your hand, hand, you know, you are the only hand like this in this whole world, you know. So thumbprints, fingerprints, you are so unique. There's no one, no other fingerprints are like that. And I want to say that is in your hand. There's a uniqueness about you that is so special. You know, I can so encourage you, but I've just got to tell this to you guys this morning. You know, you are so... You know that you are so special. All of you are so unique. Do you know that? Yes, yes. Just like everybody else. Sorry. But seriously, you're all so unique. You're all special. If you look at your hand, there's no other hand. There's no other print. There's no other DNA like you. There's no other gift set, skill set, talent set that's in your life. No one has got the exact same thing. People might have similar talents. You know, you look at the band on the stage and not one of them might be all musical, but not one of them are the same. So I want to say this morning, what is in your hand? And so if your excuse is, Lord, I don't know what to say, God is just saying to you, what is in your hand? He wants to use your hand. He wants to use your gifts. He wants to use your skills. And the rest of the chapter, or the rest of the few verses go like this. And I didn't put them all up there. I just want to paraphrase it. But basically, God said to Moses, Moses, throw that rod down on the ground. It's going to become a snake. It became a snake, and Moses like ran away. And then he says, grab the tail. It became a rod again. And then what did he do? He says, Moses, leave your rod. Now put your hand in your bosom. And he took it out, and it became leprous. And he was going to die. If it didn't heal, he would have died. And he said, put your hand back in. His hand was healed again. I believe God was showing Moses, you know what, Moses, I'm going to use your rod, but you know what, I'm going to use your hand as well. And I'm going to do miracles through you. Hello? Whatever is in your hand, I'm going to use that. And you know, Moses, even if there's nothing, even if your rod isn't in your hand, you know what, I'm going to use your hand. Because I want relationship with you. But more than that, I want relationship with so many other people. I want people to be in abundance. I want people to have abundance of life. So I'm going to use your little hand that you think is useless, that you think is no good, that you think, what am I going to say to these people? And God says, you know what? I am going to show them. Tell someone next to you. God will tell them. And so if you don't know what to say to people, God is saying to you this morning that He is going to defend Himself. And He says, then it will be, if they do not believe you or heed the message of the first sign, that is the rod becoming a snake, that they may believe the message of the second sign, that's His hand becoming leprous and healed again. And it shall be, if you do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river, pour it out on the dry land, and the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Three times God says, you know what, Moses, I'm going to do miracles. I'll do this miracle, I'll do that miracle, I'll do that. And if people don't listen to the first one, they'll listen to the second one. If they don't listen to the first two, they'll listen to the third one. You don't have to say anything. And I want to say this morning is that we don't have to try to defend God. Isn't that great for us? We don't have to try to defend God. There is a place for apologetics. There's a place for defending your faith. But I want to say that God is going to defend Himself. There's this good saying that goes, you never have to defend a lion. Just let the lion loose and it's going to defend itself. And it's the same with the Word of God. It's the same with God Himself. He never has to be defended because God is God. And so this morning, God says, where's your faith? Do you believe in my ability to do miracles? And we saw it. A couple of weeks ago, we saw the masses of people. We saw the miracles happening. God works by faith because He is God. Amen. And so I want to say this morning, God wants to do miracles through your life. God wants to use your hand. In fact, He wants to use anything that you give Him. Lord, He has my little bit of faith. Send me, Lord. But Moses wasn't ready to go yet. He had another question. So this guy is really like, God had a lot of patience with Moses. And there's good news for us this morning. God has got patience with us. Amen. Doesn't matter how analytical you are, how many excuses you've got, Moses comes up with another one. Now, God has shown him miracles. Just think of this. God has just demonstrated miracles. He said, I'm going to do miracles. I've shown you, and I'm going to do even more. And Moses is still not ready to go. Don't we identify with Moses sometimes? Amen. Oh, there's some honest people here. We need like 10 things for God to appear, and then we'll go. But Moses carried on. He says, oh Lord, but I'm not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Moses now knew that God wanted to send him to Pharaoh, so he knew, okay, I'm going to have to speak to Pharaoh. Okay, so there's going to be some negotiation here. There's going to have to be some speaking. So I better be, yeah, God, you can do miracles, but I'm still going to have to speak. And so Moses again starts to doubt his ability to speak, and he realizes, oh shucks, he stutters, he can't speak properly. And he starts to look at his weaknesses, he looks at his inabilities, and he just realizes he does not match up. Lord, this doesn't fit. Pharaoh, me, my stuttering, I don't know, God. Isn't that what we do sometimes? We look at our weaknesses and we say, Lord, I'm not the right person. But the truth is, you're never going to be the right person. Unless God says, I want to send you. You are the right person. Did God say to Moses, he's the right person? For sure He did. Why did He call him? And I want to say this morning, if God is calling you, don't doubt. Don't doubt. And God says the following. He says, Moses, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes the mute and the deaf and the seeing and the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. I'm going to be with your mouth and I'm going to teach you what you shall say. What is your excuse this morning? What are the insecurities or the uncertainties, or what are you worrying about in terms of that I'm not the right person, God, because I cannot speak? And I want to say, you know how good God is? He uses even our most brokenness, even our weakest points where we think this is not good enough for God. This will never be good enough for God. And He uses that exact thing. He uses even our inability to speak, and He uses us to speak to people. Isn't that amazing? And I, you know, if I think of my own life, and I'm honest now, I was such a shy person. I used to not hate it when people came, but I just was so fearful when people came to visit us when I was small. And I was like in high school even, or in end of junior school in high school, before I really got saved, I didn't want to see people. It was like difficult for me to speak to people. I couldn't look at people in the eye. I remember my parents saying to me, like, when you shake hands with people, like, look them in the eye. I used to like shake hands like this, you know, like look down and say, look up, look up. I was so incredibly shy. I used to hide behind the couch. I used to go into my room when a group of people came to visit. Like, oh, I'm going to have to now say hello to every one of these people. It's like, oh. And then I think, and then God's called me to speak in front of people. It's like, oh, God, it must be you. And God wants to do stuff through our lives that we think are impossible for us. In fact, we know it's impossible. And God says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to show you what to say. Because why? I made you. I made you exactly who you are. And I want to use you. And I want you to trust me in that area where you think you are not good enough. And that's the exact area that you really need to trust God. And God is pleased with that, because sometimes when we're good at something, we don't trust God anymore, because then we trust our own abilities. Amen. But when we're not good at something, we have to trust the Lord to move in. And so, yeah, Moses is like, he's really not wanting to go, because he says, Lord, in verse 13, please, just send someone else, Lord. Please send someone else. Now, when I look at that response, I think, yo, God, what were you thinking then? Did you really want to send Moses, God? Did you really want to send a guy that just didn't seem like he wanted to go? Maybe some of us are there. Maybe some of us say, Lord, you know, there's a lot of people in this church, so God send someone else. Let someone else come to my work and minister, God, because I don't want to minister there. Send someone else. Send a pastor. Just send another guy to minister to these people, because I can't speak, Lord. I'm not an evangelist. I can't. Oh, Lord, what do I witness about? Please, Lord, just send someone else. Let me rather just focus on what I've got to do. Yeah, but Lord, I'll come to church, but God, I won't go for you. And God responds, it says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Now, Moses wrote this, so he must have known the anger was aroused in God. And God then said, and he's now speaking to Moses quite serious, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he's coming to meet you. When he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be to you a spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God, and you shall take this rod in your hand, and you will go. God had patience with Moses. He was a bit angry, because he said, what more must I do? What more must I do to demonstrate to this guy that I am so excited to send him? I'm with him. But God is patient. And God even makes another plan. I don't believe God necessarily wanted Aaron to be with Moses, although maybe he did. I don't know. If Moses had gone, he would have still sent Aaron, I guess. But Moses, God said to Moses, Moses, I've made a plan for your stuttering. I've made a plan for your speaking problem. Will you not trust me? But you see, God remained patient, and he explained to Moses that nothing that you do or say or your unbelief is not going to prevent me from using you. Isn't that good news for us this morning? Doesn't matter what your excuse is this morning. Doesn't matter what you say. God has got patience, and he has made provision for every single situation. When I read the story, I realize God wants to send each one of us. And you know, I can say this morning, you know what? God will just pass over us and He'll send another church, or He'll send someone else. He won't send you, He'll send someone else. I can say that this morning, but I don't believe that is the heart of God. I don't believe God just said, you know, I've had enough of these people, I'll move on to the next church. I believe God will knock at our door until we respond. Amen. Because He loves us. And so I'm not going to say that this morning. I'm not going to say God is going to move on, because I know He's not going to move on with me, and He's not going to move on with you. He's going to knock at your door. Doesn't matter how many 50,000 excuses that you have. God will still say, I've got a response. And God has responded to every fear that we have, every doubt, every uncertainty, all our weaknesses. God responds. And you know what He responded every time? He said, Moses, I've got an incentive for you, and I've got a solution for the world. And you know, that incentive and that solution is found in one man. And yet, where we are today, we don't have to be like Moses, where we have to commune directly with God in our sinful state. We can come and commune with God through the one Savior, through Jesus Christ. Because He's the incentive for our lives, and He's the solution for the world. Isn't that amazing? And yeah, in my last scripture, and then we're going to take communion this morning. Jesus said to His disciples, He says, peace to you, in John chapter 20. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This morning, I believe God is wanting to stir us to just go for Him. Amen. God is wanting to encourage us and challenge us and say, doesn't matter what your excuse, doesn't matter what your weakness, doesn't matter what your uncertainty, if you know me, you know that I am who I am. I'm the great I am. You've had an encounter with me. You know what? I want you to go for me. You don't have to, but I so want you to go. And isn't that the most amazing adventure, to go for God? I can really say out of my own life, there's nothing better to live for. Amen. Worship is amazing. Intimacy with God is amazing. But I could tell you, there's nothing greater than to go and to make a difference in someone's life. There's nothing greater than to go pray for someone and even encourage someone. And on Thursday morning, I was running, and then my hamstring didn't like kind of work with, and so I had to walk. And walking around university, so I'm seeing these students starting to go to class, and when you're an athlete or a sportsman, you know, you get so focused on yourself and your own abilities and whether you fit or not, or you know, if you've got an injury, it's like, oh, all the focus goes to this, and you get negative, and you sort of, and then you like worry and you think and you analyze. And then the Lord just said to me, just look at the people walking, just look at them, just start to focus on them. And so I'm walking now, and they've got earphones on, and they, but I'm just saying, you know what, have a great day. Yeah, I said to one, I said, you must have a great day. But I said it like with joy and with like, and like, I can't believe, you know, like, who's blessing me here today? You know? But there's nothing like just looking at other people and just wanting to make a difference in someone's life. Amen. There's nothing like looking away from ourselves and our issues and all our challenges and making our life so comfortable and so controlled that we forget about people around us. There's nothing better than to look at someone and just say, you know what? Jesus loves you. Can I pray for you? Can I minister to you? Can I, what do you need? Can I help you? I've got the answer. Amen. The answer is found in Jesus Christ. And if we have Jesus Christ, we've got the answer to every single problem in this world. And I want to say this morning, Jesus wants us to walk in His slipstream. He's gone to Egypt already. He's gone to Pharaoh. He's letting the people of God go. He's busy letting the people of God go. And He says, you know what? Just walk in my slipstream. Walk with me. And go to where I've already gone. Minister to where I've already ministered. I've already prepared hearts for you. Just go. And I want to say this morning, God uses the extra, God uses even less than ordinary people. He doesn't use ordinary people. He uses less than ordinary people. Moses was he wasn't an ordinary guy. He was a wacky guy. He was weird. He was a murderer. He was rejected when he was young. He didn't have a great past. He uses less than ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Amen. God uses less than ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And sometimes we must think of ourselves as not ordinary. We're actually less than ordinary. We're actually useless. We're actually sinners. We're not so cool. But those are the people God wants to use. Amen. The insecure people He wants to use. The weak people. The nowhere people. The losers, you know. Those are people who know their God shall be strong and they shall carry out great exploits. Daniel 11:32. Do you know your God? Do you know Jesus? Do you know the great I am? And I want to say this morning, what is your excuse? What is your excuse? But the question is, will you go for me? Let's bow our heads and pray as the ushers take. The ushers can hand out the communion. And the band can come forward as well. I want to say this morning that God is patient with us. He loves us. And He's not forcing us to do anything. And I really want to say that this morning. It's a complete and utter invitation. It's a complete invitation. And I believe this morning He's saying to Shofar Bloemfontein, He's saying, people of God, believers, will you go for me? Will you go for me this year? Not on a mission. Yes, you can go on a mission. You can go to India. You can go to the township here. You can go to Bultfontein and Graaffreinet. And we're excited. God is doing so many things. I had a meeting with the people from Bultfontein, and they just so want us to come and minister to them once a month. They want us to go and just help them. They're so hungry. They're so hungry for more. They're hungry to be equipped. They're hungry to be trained in. They don't want religion. They don't want another church structure. But they just want relationship. And they want impartation. They want teaching. And I believe we can give it. I spoke to Fani from Graaffreinet. And he just wants us. We talked about doing an outreach over the inter-schools weekend. When Union play folk school. And we can invite. We can help people who are drunk in the evenings and just help them. And we can invite them to church. We can just give Jesus to them. We can pick up the papers afterwards. We can make a difference in the town. So I'm so excited because as we're talking, the ideas are just flowing. We're like, yes, we can do this. We can do this. We can do so many things. And Richard is excited for India. And a couple of us are excited to make a difference on campus. There's so many poorer people who need discipleship. And we can do lunch hour church with them on campus once a week. And we're going to do that. We're going to go to the township. Harlu's already organized some opportunities at the end of the exams in June. We do a week mission in the townships and around Bloemfontein, pray in the hospitals. But I want to say, God is not limited to our little missions program, amen. God is excited about it. But I believe the missions aren't sustainable if we haven't got a heart to go, amen. And so the question this morning for you is will you go tomorrow to your boss? Will you go to your colleague? Will you go to your classmate? Will you just go next door to the neighbor and say, what do you need? Can I help you? Can I pray for you? Is life tough? Financially, you're struggling? Let's just trust God together. Let's give people Jesus. Amen. Just give people plain Jesus. No, don't give them this because we don't have the solutions, okay? Sometimes we don't want to go because we're not going to financially help these people, or we're not going to be able to give them food. But we can give them Jesus at least. And then Jesus will probably tell you, help them practically as well. Because Jesus isn't into super spirituality. He's into making our lives good practically as well. And the question for some of us here this morning is, you've got the finances. Will you finance someone who's got the heart to go? Because you can't go because your mission is at your work. Your mission is your family for now. But do you have finances to go? To send someone to go? And you know what? You're going with those finances. It's not your finances. It's your heart that's going with. Tav said it this morning. So, guys, we've got a missions account that I want to say. If you've got a heart for missions, pay money into the missions account. Get the details. Just start sponsoring someone to go for a mission. Because that's what God loves. Students don't have a lot of money, but the working people have got money. So we're an awesome church, amen. We've got it all. We've got the finances. We've got the heart to go. We've got the resources. What's holding us back? What is our excuse as a church? Are we waiting for better days? Are we waiting for R1 million in the bank and then we'll go? Jesus just says, peace. As the Father has sent me, I send you. Receive. Holy Spirit. Maybe this morning some of you need to be baptized afresh in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who's, he's really stirred when we go on missions. He's activated, amen. And some of us don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit anymore because we're not going, and the Holy Spirit wants us to go, and then he activates our lives again. He activates us for the kingdom because he's the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of the kingdom. He helps the kingdom to come in our lives and through our lives. So some of us must just go pray for someone again, just to activate that experience where we can just make a difference, because we've got so much to give. When last did you pray for someone? When last did you just bless someone? Look away from yourselves. I'm talking to myself now as well, because I think I'm doing a great thing on a Sunday, but what's the rest of my week looking like? Am I making a difference? Am I reaching the city? Am I reaching the world? So Jesus, we just come to you and we respond to this answer, this question that you're asking us this morning. Will you go for me? And Jesus, we've got so many excuses this morning, Lord. We think we're not good enough. We feel so sorry for ourselves. We look at our bank balances and we're surviving, Lord, so many times, and we're just struggling to make it. But Lord, you just said to Moses, I've got the answer. I've got the solution. So Lord, we receive the solution for every excuse that we have now, Lord. We thank you for your patience with Moses, Lord. And I believe you're saying to us, you've got so much patience with us. You're not pushing us. You're not pressuring us. But Lord, there's abundant life waiting for us as well when we go, Lord. Because our promised land is actually waiting for us. So I believe this morning, as we take communion, I want you to just do business with the Lord. And maybe some of you need to have God hear your cry this morning, because you're oppressed. You're one of those slaves in Egypt. You're struggling this morning and you need to be set free, and Jesus wants to set you free. He sent you here and he sent his Spirit to minister to you this morning. But maybe you this morning, you're so excited to go and you just want to say to God, God, I'm going to go for you. I'm going to make a choice this morning to go for you. Or maybe there's some of you that are fearful and you've got 5,000 excuses. Your excuses just continue, and there's just no time, there's just no passion, there's nothing is there, and you've fallen into fear and doubt and into unbelief again. And then you think God will never use me, and I want to say that's a lie. God wants to use you. Just lay your hand on the person next to you and just in the Spirit say, God wants to use you. Just by laying your hand on the person, I just want to say to you, God wants to use you, each and every one of you. I want someone to touch all of you this morning and say, you know what? God wants to use you. He loves you. He doesn't want you to miss out on the adventure. So, Lord, I thank you that we can take off your body this morning, your broken body, Lord. Lord, yeah, we are broken people, God. We don't always know how and why and what, Lord, but thank you that you want to send us, Lord. Thank you that you've given us your Spirit, Lord. Thank you that you died on the cross. Thank you that you were torn apart on the cross, that we can be whole, God. And as we are being made whole, we can go. We don't have to wait for ourselves to be perfect, God, because we'll never be perfect, Lord. But thank you that we can go even with our weaknesses, even with our insecurities. We can do like Moses and try so many excuses, but eventually we're just going to go. So won't you eat together of the blood of the body of Jesus? Just remember his broken body, and remember that you don't have to be broken. You can be whole because of his body. He's going to give you strength and power to just renew your commitment with him. And because you see him, because you know him, because you experience him, it's going to excite you to go. Thank you, Lord, for your blood that washes away our sins, Lord. Thank you that we don't go with a consciousness of sin. And we don't go to judge people, God. pray, Lord, that you'll help us even as we go, Lord, that we won't go to another nation and look down on them and think that we've got all the answers and think that we're so full of ourselves. And Lord, I pray for humility by your blood, Lord. Because your blood is a reminder that, Lord, we need a Savior, Lord. We are all sinful. We need your saving blood, Lord. And we thank you for your blood that saves us, Lord, and that washes us clean. But thank you, Lord, for just the awe and wonder of the cross, and that we can go because your blood flowed to the ends of the earth, Lord. So let's drink together of the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the incredible blood of Jesus Christ. This is not just another ritual we're doing. This is a holy sacrament. Let it remind you of what he's done for you. Not what anyone else has done for you, but what Jesus has done for you. Moses held that rod very tight when he went. He held on tightly to that rod and he went, and it was a reminder of what God has done. I want you to hold on tight to your Bible at this time. I want you to hold on tight to the Word of God as a reminder. It's the sword in your hand. It's the only weapon of offense. The other weapons are all defensive weapons, but the weapon of warfare is the Word, but with the Word, the Spirit of God. Because the Word is dead without the Spirit. Amen. So if you've got your Bible here, I want you to take it like the rod of Moses. Just hold on to it tight, and I want you to go with the Word of God. Amen. Because you're not going empty-handed. There's a testimony in this book. It's a lot of pages, hundreds, thousands of pages of testimony. This is just one of them this morning. There's so many other excuses that many other people made. Amen. But there's a testimony that we can hold on. We can hold on to tight onto this Word of God. And guys, I believe if the Word of God inspires us every day by the Holy Spirit, we're not going to stop going. God is going to sometimes have to say, just rest, you know. You're running so fast now, but just rest. But that passion will burn in you. Amen. When you wake up every morning and you have this as your rod in your hand, and you go with this Word and you tell someone, you're an overcomer. You don't have to be defeated in this world. You can give someone life. You can also tell some people they have to repent of this sin. Hard words, but it's life. It's truth. Amen. So I want to commission you this morning, and then I'm trusting God for incredible testimonies, guys. Amen. In your lives and in our church, God is doing amazing things. And you know, I want you to look around you. Okay, you can open your eyes now. I want you to look behind you. I want to look. The Lord showed me 2 weeks ago. He said, Alistair, if you want to pack out 50 or 60 chairs every week, then I'll send you 50 or 60 people every week. But if you pack out 250 chairs, fill up this hall, because we had a nice service with CS the other weekend, and there were a lot of visitors, a lot of people after the Angus thing. Then the Lord just said to me, you know what? I want the church to look like this every Sunday. I want the chairs full, even if there's 10 people. The 10 will sit here, and we'll trust God to fill up every chair in this church. Amen? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But it's your faith, guys. It's not my faith. So I've got faith. I believe it, but you believe it. And as we go, I believe we must also invite people, because this is a place where people can rest. It's a place where people can experience God's presence. It's a place where people can be inspired. Not by me, not by the band, just by the presence of God. Because I've never been so excited about every Sunday. I love being here on a Sunday. The presence of God is so amazing. This morning we were praying and I just heard a dove like that. And then I saw these other birds flying around and flattering and screaming. And it was like almost like God saying, this is me and that's the world. That's the devil shouting and screaming and flapping. And the dove just like, just there in his place, just making that little sound. I just knew God is saying to me, he's here. He's here at the school. Not because it's JF, because we're worshiping him here. Amen. Our motive here is not to do anything else but to see Jesus face to face. But I want other people to experience this, because I'm like, God, there's so many people who are broken in this city. There's so many people who are broken in this province, Lord. Send us, but bring them here, Lord. Bring them here. Then we're going to send them. we're going to have some radical people coming here. They're going to run out before we do. They're going to go change the world. So where's your faith this morning? Will you go for me? That's the question. I'm just leaving that with you guys now, because we're done. If you want to worship, the band will continue. If you want to have coffee, go and have coffee. But the question this morning is, will you go for me? Father, I thank you for your people. Thank you for all of us here this morning. Lord, we know you're sending us, Lord. We sense it, Lord. We sense it that you're sending us every day, Lord. And it's nothing new, Lord. This is something you asked us just after Jesus died. 2,000 years ago, you asked the disciples, will you go and change the world for me? And Lord, we know the dark ages happened and many people just didn't go for you. Many people didn't have the revelation of your spirit and of your word, Lord, and the truth of your word. So thank you that religion is broken over our lives, Lord. Thank you that we're not in the dark ages anymore, Lord. We're in the age of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We're in the age of the supernatural, where signs and wonders will follow us, Lord. Miracles will follow us, Lord. But we don't run after the miracles, God. We want to hold the rod tightly in our hand, Lord. We want to hold the word of God close to us, God. And we want to fellowship with your spirit every day, Lord. And with that, there'll be power for incredible stuff, Lord. There's enough power, Lord, to change the world. There's enough power to change Bloemfontein in our lives, God. Because we know the one who has already changed the world. And his name is the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. And we worship you today, Lord. We thank you. Thank you that you send us, Lord. I send all of us, Lord, including myself. But I send your people, Lord, to go for you, Lord, to do the good works that you have destined each one of them to do this week and in the weeks to come, Lord. In Jesus' name. May the month of May be awesome for all of you. Amen. It's a new month. It's a new week starting tomorrow. New opportunities. Let's see the kingdom come, guys. Be blessed. Thanks so much for coming. We're going to be here again tonight. But have a great Sunday. And remember, go for me. God says, go for me.